Responsibility is a daily occupation. Every day we tend to life so that chaos doesn't take over.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, August 31st, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Towards a Theology of Labor. And our text comes to us from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, welcome to Labor Day weekend services. How many labor? I didn't say, are you in labor? I said, well, I think it's important for us to understand the concept of labor in scriptures. So I'd like for us to just think about this incredible opportunity that you and I have as a nation, and not only just our nation, but all over the world in different days, they celebrate Labor Day. It's a weekend that honors people who work, honoring the workers. And in so, it recognizes, catch this, the dignity of labor, the dignity of work. And we do so by pausing to rest, kind of like a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction. It is a day for you to have barbecues, hopefully, maybe, who knows what you're going to be doing. I don't really need to know, but I do need you to know that it's officially, technically, the end of summer. But also for the Christian, it's an opportunity to reflect on what God's Word teaches about work. So we're going to talk about work today. And there's one scripture, several, but one that we want to read out loud, chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 10. All right? All right. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Everybody together, read it. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Okay, the word man is one that troubles me. if a man will not work, he should not eat. May God bless the reading of his word. Paul tells us in reality, and he writes to the Thessalonians, if they're not willing to work, then don't eat. And this has many different reasons why he writes this way, but many believe that people who have just gotten saved believe in the second coming of the Lord, and therefore they said, why should we engage work when the Lord's coming tomorrow? And that way they were just freeloading from everybody else. And Paul says, that's not the attitude. You need to work. I remember a Guatemalan family, and I just now said Guatemalan, I'm in trouble with all the Guatemalan family, but it's okay. But I remember this Guatemalan family many years ago. I was 19 years old, so that means prehistoric for most of you. And in that prehistoric time of my life, I remember going to this home, Guatemalans, and we were going to drive all the way down to Guatemala in a carry-on, and the carry-on was being loaded with everything, and I was dropped off at the house, and then from that house, we were going to just take off. So walking into the house, everything in the house was dilapidated. There were paint was falling off the ceiling. Everything was, I mean, just acoustically wrong. I'm using the word acoustical because that's the only word that comes to my mind. It was not very, it was very depressing. And I said, gee, this is where you guys live? And the guy said, yeah, because the coming of the Lord is next week or maybe the week after. I am not going to paint that wall because it's going to stay behind. Of course, it's been now, what, 50 years? And yet there are many people today that take an attitude of not wanting to work as an excuse for their faith and commitment to the Lord. And so this morning, I'd like to debunk that. And I just want you to know that the scripture speaks about the responsibility of work. And Paul had a hard statement, and he says, if you don't work, then you should not eat. Simple as that. And you and I believe that it's true. And it reminds the church that God calls us to a life of responsibility. Shall I say it again? A life of responsibility. A life of stewardship and faithful labor or work. So if you came to church today thinking you were going to rest, you get to rest, but then you get to labor. Because this labor weekend, I want to show you the gospel. the gospel of work and rest. And the scripture shows us four truths. And the first one would be that God wants us to work. Work is God's design for you and for me. Secondly, that work requires responsibility. Thirdly, that work can be worship. And lastly, work must be balanced with rest. This is a theology of labor, a theology of work. How do I carry my life between Monday and Friday, and some of us Monday through Saturday, working? We spend most of our life working. What is work all about for the Christian? Well, if we begin at the very beginning, which would be in Genesis, we see that work is God's design for you and for me. Scripture says that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And this comes before sin came into the picture. Adam was perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. And work was not a punishment. Work is part of what God intended for man to have. It is amazing when you look at it that Adam was given the privilege of doing three or four things. First of all, he was given the privilege to cultivate the garden where he was placed in. Secondly, he got to name every animal that God created. And he had to manage creation. In doing so, what happened is that Adam reflected the very image of God, who himself is a worker, a doer, a creator, a sustainer, the artist of the universe. I see some of the discoveries of that Hubble telescope, and I think you've seen that on some of the public channels, and they're going bizarre. They can't understand the creation, and when did it start, when did it begin, and the constellations and the universes, and they're going out of their minds. Well, that's my Lord. He is the artist of the universe. So think about it. When you and I work with our hands, when you and I plan with our minds, when you create things with your gifts, you're mirroring God's who formed the universe. Your work matters because it's an extension of a God-given traits. It's amazing. The one who made the heavens and the earth installed in your heart and in my heart an ability to work, to labor. It's just that when you create something with your hands, when you plan something with your minds, you leave fingerprints. And those fingerprints are God's fingerprints. Whatever you do, as we will discover, for the glory of God. So this morning, you know, whether you're a teacher or a truck driver, an electrician, a nurse, a mechanic, a student, or even a pastor, and there are a couple here today, the work we do carries a level of dignity because God designed you for it. Work is holy ground. God created you to work, and what you're doing today is an extension of God's marvelous plan in your life and the plan he had for all of us. So how many are working? At least you think whatever you do, well, the second thing I need to say is that just as work is God's design for human beings, work requires responsibility. When we go back to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, we read it a little bit more in detail, and in another version, it says, if anybody is not willing to work, then let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. And this is the issue with the Thessalonians. They wanted somebody else to do the work, and they wanted just to eat. They wanted to benefit from the labor of other people. And so they said, if Christ is coming soon, why should I bother? You know, some of us have an attitude like that. And I don't want to get into too much of it because it may sound political, but we don't depend on anything except the Lord, who's gifted us to do things for him. And so what they did in those days, they leaned on others to carry on their weight. And Paul corrects this and says, craziness like this is not right. There is no excuse for the Christian to be lazy. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Are you still here? You haven't walked away, right? Good. Well, work requires responsibility. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that God does not want you to work. Mm-mm. Again, in another statement that Paul in 1 Timothy 5:18, he says that anyone who does not provide for their own relatives has denied the faith. This whole concept of work is embedded in Scripture. There is no room for someone to say, I'm going to have a free ride, I'm not going to work, because somebody else will work and do it for me. No, work requires responsibility. And you know, that means a couple of things. Number one, you got to show up. How many know that? How many show up? Yeah, that's how it all begins, you know, is showing up. The second thing it requires is you got to do your part. Everybody's so happy this morning. And thirdly, you have to contribute. And that contribution goes to your family and to your community. I remember remembering in my youthful days when I had to work in punching cards and work for Montgomery Ward, which is ancient history for everybody. Thank you. And I used to punch, and I had to go and run to the punch, just punch it, boom. That was the state of the art in those days. If you don't know what punching is, it's okay, don't worry about it. Today you probably text it in, who knows? All I can tell you is that if I didn't punch in, I didn't get paid. There was responsibility, and I had to show up, and I had to put the card and punch. If anybody would do that, they would get fired. Nobody could do that for you. Of course not. That would be cheating. So you got to show up. You got to do your part. You got to contribute. Just like garden. I have a garden in my house, and when it's not attended properly, in a few weeks, it's a jungle. Responsibility is a daily occupation. Every day we tend to life so that chaos doesn't take over. The idea of working and being productive in society, being part of the structure of our lives, our family, our communities, our country. So on Labor Day, like today, we just don't honor workers. We remind ourselves that our labor is tied to responsibility. We're responsible people. And God calls us to be stewards of our jobs, stewards of our families, stewards of our church, and stewards of our community. We are engaged in work. God does not have really good, lazy Christians. Hello? I'm in trouble. But it's true. We work. There should be no free ride. Now, our country is a blessed country and has helped millions of people who are incapacitated. That's a different story altogether. And the reason people in this country can receive help from the government is because people like you and I work. Because the government doesn't make up the money. We do by working. And I think that's an important thing to do. Taking advantage of the system is not something that we embrace and something that we condone. It's something we should say Christians should stay away from. But I'm saying those who need it, the Lord's provided for them. But he's provided because you and I are responsible stewards, because we do our job, because we care for society, we care for the community. But a third thing, and this is a short message because I'm looking at you, and the third issue, or the third concept here, is that your work, the one you do tomorrow or day after tomorrow, because I think everybody's free tomorrow, can be worship. And that's what we have said all along, that whatever you do, you have to do it for the Lord. And tomorrow when you go to work, or day after tomorrow when you do the work, You do it as for the Lord and not for men. So work can be and should be worship. You worship the Lord when you work. So Colossians 3:22 says, 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. The ultimate boss in your work relationship environment is not the person that signs the check. It's the Lord himself. That's tough, because I didn't think the Lord was so stingy. Nobody got that one. Okay. Well, whatever you receive because the Lord has blessed you to receive that, and you need to make that money, whatever you receive, multiply for the glory of God and be content with what you have. Amen. And the responsibility of mine when I get a paycheck is to pay my tithes to the Lord. Amen. Remember Sister Cora, and some of you don't even know who Sister Cora was, but we do remember her. I remember her coming to me one day saying, I'm having a lot of problems in paying my tithes. I said, why? He says, because by the time I get paying all my bills, I don't have any money left. What do I do? I said, the first bill you should pay is your tithes. She did that, and she always was able to stretch the money to cover all the bills. So you and I have a responsibility to this ultimate boss who allows us to get a paycheck. But that's not necessarily what I'm driving at today. I'm saying that when you and I do the ordinary tasks of life, it's actually an act of worship. Can I tell you some of the acts of worship that you do that sometimes people question? Here we go. Number one, changing diapers is an act of worship. The nursery needs you. Silence. Yo creo que voy a predicar en español. I'm going to go to Spanish right now. Maybe you can get some help. But I'm telling you the truth. Driving a bus is a service to the King. Cleaning the house is an act of worship. Filing paperwork can glorify God. Working with a computer. No matter what you and I do, brothers, it can be an act of worship when you so see it. You can grumble, can be upset. I mean, I've had jobs in my life before I was full-time in the ministry that I'm telling you, if there was a motivation for me to get into the ministry was, Lord, I don't want to do this. And then I got into the ministry and said I should have stayed where I was. But I'm telling you the truth, that no matter what comes at you, if you look at it as an act of worship, as an opportunity to serve God and others, it changes the whole routine. There was a man by the name of Lawrence, Brother Lawrence, we called him. He was a humble 17th century monk. And he worked in the monastery in the kitchen. And this is what he said. He wrote, said, I am as close to God washing dishes as when I'm kneeling at the altar. And everything you do for the glory of God. Whatever you do, you say, this is for God. God's involved in this. And when you realize God's presence in your life, it changes everything. When you do it for the glory of God, when you do it for the Lord and say, Lord, I don't like to take care of this person, or Lord, I dislike changing diapers. I don't know if anybody that loves to change diapers. Maybe there's some of you, but we'll pray for you for something else. But I don't like to do this. I don't like to do that. But when you turn it and say, I'm going to do it for the glory of God, I'm doing something. And that God has enabled me to do it. We do it for the glory of God. So washing the dishes or kneeling at the altar, I'm doing it for the glory of God. So this week, I think you and I should ask ourselves the question, who am I really working for? You think it's the company. It's the Lord. You think it's the people above you. It's the Lord. The answer is the Lord. Every task, big or small, can bring him glory. Work done in faith becomes worship. Imagine showing up to your work on Tuesday because tomorrow you're not doing anything, it's Labor Day. Imagine going to work on Tuesday and saying, I'm going to worship the Lord. You got the worst boss anybody could have. You still worship the Lord. And you think it's the worst you got, because the one I had was the worst. We all have issues that we have to deal with, but it's the attitude of saying, I'm going to work for the glory of God. And Lord, as I do this, you're working through me for your glory. But work has to be balanced with rest. And this is the last thing I need to say today, because Scripture teaches us that work has a rhythm. In Exodus chapter 20, the big chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments, God gave to Israel the Sabbath. He said, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. So there has to come a discipline that work does not become your God, that you don't become obsessed with work, that you do the work you have to do, but that you reserve a time for rest. And I want you to know the rest is not laziness. Catch this. Rest is trust. Say it with me. Rest is trust. One more time.
Rest is trust.
Now only the ladies.
Rest is trust.
Now only the men.
Rest is trust.
I've heard a female voice there. Because resting means, I believe that God will provide even when I stop working, because this is all God. It's hard. And Jesus takes this truth even harder, because he comes to us and he says, you know, you guys are killing yourselves. And some of you are, you know, put your last name and then put the word OT, overtime. I've known families that have been destroyed because of the OT. And there was a brother that used to come to church, we call him Brother OT. Because the only thing he wanted to do was to do overtime. More money, more money, more money, more money. Come on, cut it out. Rest and trust in the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're taking life too seriously, some of you. You think it depends on you. You think it depends, you're going to work 7 days a week. I got to do it. And now with, what is it, no tax on tips? Oh, my goodness. Gonna get money. The true Christian rests in the Lord. True rest also is not just a nap or a vacation, because true rest, as I said, is found in Christ. He is the one that carries the burdens. He is the one that makes up the money that you thought you'd lost because you did not work that seventh day. He is the one who refreshes your soul. He is the one that invites us to walk in peace. The obsession of making money, the obsession of grab all you can all you grab. Did I say that right? Something like that. The obsession of making the money, because it's money. It's not money, it's Christ in your life, and he will provide you. Jesus said, why do you fret so much? And I found something remarkable in that verse. He says, the Lord provides for the birds in the sky. They don't get to work. They get to enjoy creation. We manage creation, and we're asked to rest 1 day a week. Rest is absolutely indispensable. There's an illustration of a bow, you know, bow. When it stays strung too tightly, it will snap. The bow has to be released. And some of us are so tight. I gotta
gotta work. Money.
You forget that God is the one who provides. And this idea of resting is the ultimate test of faith. I say that because in this country, as in any country in the world, when God saves your wallet, you're totally saved.
Amen.
When you trust God for your finances, you are saved, my brother and my sister. Well, you're saved before that. But what I'm saying is this life of depending on the Lord, where you're not obsessed, but you're depending and trusting in the Lord. So on this Labor Day weekend, don't just take the day to just goof off, but take the day to rest in Christ and to say, Lord, I can rest in you, and you will supply all my needs according to the riches and glory. I trust you, Lord. So you work 6 days. Oh, you better work. You better show up. You better punch in, whatever that means. You better do your work. You better do it and be excellent, because you do it as unto the Lord. When you work, you're worshiping God. I mean, this is big stuff. But there's got to be a time when you take off and you just rest in the presence of the Lord. So I'm concluding this morning by saying we gather this Labor Day weekend and we remember four things. First, work is a gift of God. It's God's gift to you and to me. It's part of his design from the very beginning. So you are a worker by design. You're not a lazy guy or a lazy gal. Okay. Secondly, God shows us that work requires responsibility, which means we're called to diligence and stewardship. We can't be goofing off all the time. We have to be responsible. Thirdly, worship is work, and work is worship. So whatever you do, we do it for the Lord, for the Lord. And then lastly, when you work, remember, you got to balance it with rest. Our truest rest is in Christ Jesus, where you say, I don't depend on this job. I depend on the Lord. The Lord is my provider. When Jesus on the cross said, it is finished, he completed the greatest work, the work of salvation. And because of that, you and I can depend that his labor brought joy to our hearts, and we can rest on his grace completely. So as you go to your jobs this next week, and you do the work you have to do, and you take care of home, and you go to schools, and you do this, you do the other, see that work as an act of worship. Take responsibility for what God has entrusted to you. And for heaven's sakes, don't forget to rest, not just taking a day off, but rest in the Savior who said, come to me, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Maybe some of you look too rested. But you need to rest in the Lord. Labor is so important in our lives. Yeah, you're laughing and you're choking up because you are lazy. No, you're not lazy. We are a vibrant church working for the glory of God, and you are to be commended for the work that you do and for the fact that you have been called by God, the designer and creator of the universe, to be a part of that. So go and do your thing for the glory of God on this Labor Day. It's a lot more to Labor Day than just eating hot dogs. It's depending and trusting the Lord for everything that comes along. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you because you've given us a gift, and the gift is work. It is part of your design in our lives, Lord, from the very beginning. Help us, Lord, to become responsible stewards. Help us, Lord, to be diligent in the tasks that you've given us. Help us to understand that what we do Monday through Friday is worship, is an attitude towards you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that whatever we do it for you. And Lord, give us wisdom that we will not trust work, but we will trust you by having a balanced approach to life. For our truest rest is in you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards. Help us to be good people, to be a blessed community that blesses the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shall we stand? Amen. 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 So this is the day
that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.
It's Labor Day. This is the Labor Day the Lord has made. No, that's changing scripture. That's changing scripture. One more time, and with this missing prayer. This is the day the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in the peace of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.